and still we go on. United! Tranmere are going up! Mellon's mission accomplished!
Oh, what a goal! Nick Henry, who scored a fantastic goal to beat West Ham in the FA Cup, has done it again for John Aldridge's team. What a start for Tranmere!
Swinging free kick and a chance here for Kelly. He scored!
David Kelly! Tranmere a level against all the odds!
Jennings. There's the cross forwards! In! In for Tranmere! James Forward! What a joy for Tranmere Rovers! Inside the final 10 minutes! What an effort from the Tranmere! It might just be enough to take them back to the promised land of the Football League!
This is Buxton. Away from Backinson. This is Pringle. Now Caprice. Caprice with the cross. The header! It's in! It's Connor Jennings! Tranmere Rovers, whose double dip led to their world caving in, could be getting back to where they were in double quick time.
Hello darkness, my old friend.
Right then, folks, what's happening, you lizards? We are back once again. This is Tranmere, the unofficial Tranmere Rovers podcast with myself, Matt Hibbert, at Mabert on Twitter, at This is Tranmere on Twitter, at Mabert17 on Insta, all at Malarkey, joined as ever by big time Hollywood himself, Mr. Paul P.H. Harper. How are we?
I'm good, Matthew. How are you?
Paul Harper, by the way, so big time now that he won't answer my calls. He has to be the one who calls me. He'll just leave my call. He'll just leave my call it to go off until Skype goes. This person's... Yeah.
The call rang. I selected the green button to accept the call.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, hello, hello, hello. And I don't know what happened. It just cut off.
Paul.
So I then phoned you back.
Yes.
As a courtesy.
I answered straight away, didn't I? Straight away. I was straight in there. Straight in there on it. On the money, Paul. That's why I am. See, time is money. Money is time. Wall Street, yeah. Innit? That's why
your technology works better than mine. That is the conclusion I've come to.
That's why I'm living in this paradise that is Seacombe / Wallasey / Edgemont, where the big boys play. JKO, once again, can't be with us. He's, I don't know what he's done this time, but he's looking at a serious stretch, apparently, isn't he?
Didn't look good from those
messages
we saw.
And obviously when I say serious stretch, I don't mean prison time. I mean a serious stretch of motorway in front of him in his van.
Yes.
Interpret that how you will. He said he's been on the road now since 1:30, so nearly 6 hours. Getting on for, yeah. It's a good look to him. You know, he'll be back in prison anyway soon, I imagine, for some... Well, when the police find
what's in his van, though,
when they find what's in the back of the van, you talk about Black Friday sales. Every day is a Black Friday sale for JK, isn't it? Good God. If you need any electrical goods, by the way, get in touch with Jake before he goes down again. Because at JKO88 on Twitter, if you need a telly, any white goods, not that type of white goods, I mean, your kitchen goods.
Although he probably could sell some white goods.
If you need something, he'll get you it. Half price, whatever you need, half price. That's what he does. Speaking of half price things, Tranmere Rovers.
Yeah, our team.
I mean, it was, you know, since we were last on, you know, Adkins now officially permanent manager. I mean, if you want to look at half glass full sort of thing, 4 points from the last two games, our first point away from home on Saturday. 3 points against Forest Green the previous Saturday, you know, out the bottom two, albeit on goal difference. So you could look at it that way. Or you can look at it the other way and go, we are still deep, deep in the mire. It was a very poor performance on Saturday. But, Paul, you luckily didn't see the game, did you, on Saturday?
No, I was doing you better things.
Yeah, saved you £10 on iFollow.
I've seen the highlights, obviously. And
did they make a highlight package?
Yeah, something did.
Oh, yeah. How long did it last? 9 seconds.
I've seen clips, obviously, and I've obviously read a lot of stuff on Twitter and opinions of those who were at the game and stuff. So,
I mean,
yeah, it's you say sort of if your glass is half full, that those are positives. And yeah, you know, but when you take the lead against a poor team like Sutton,
they were so
seemingly
poor.
Were. And you hanging on, and then concede with, was it like the third shot that they had or something?
89th minute, Paul. And do you know what? McGee didn't have a save to make. The one thing he had to do was when Tom Davis played a back pass and the ball got stuck in like the mud.
Yeah.
Turnbull. You've got to just... And we got out of jail. I thought for a start, he's going to handball outside the area again. Their fella got, they end up hitting the post from it and we got away with it. But yeah. it was a kind of sloppy mistake that we've been making all season. But we got away with it. And we didn't make any mistakes like that last Saturday. And we got the 3 points and the clean sheet. And it's the simple one. We've been making those stupid, sloppy mistakes in almost every single game this season. And that's what's cost us the points. Especially away from home. And we got away with it, but we ended up not getting away with it in the long run because their goal, Paul, is we've got possession and it's Sam Taylor who gives it away on like the halfway line, gets dispossessed cheaply and they win a corner. And then it's, you know, when you're defending like we were just, you know, getting deeper and deeper. Sometimes you get away with it, but the way we're going at the minute, the way our luck is and the way we're playing, you're not going to get away with it. And you make your own luck, don't you? You can say to a degree. And it was a corner, you know, little clearance. It drops to one of their fellas and he just smashes it. On another day, we get a block in. On another day, he smashes it over the bar, but he smashes it and it goes in. And to be fair, I think a draw was a fair result on Saturday. We didn't do enough to win the game. When we get the lead, Paul, you've got to kick on from there. Dennis has a great chance. And to be fair, it's a great snap effort. He has just before halftime. Connor Jennings, it's a great flick on. Brilliant little flick on. And it drops to him about 25 yards out. And he swivels like left foot. Not a volley, but like almost like a half volley on the bounce. And it's just wide of the post. And you could say, could he have took another touch? Yeah, he could have, but he would have been closed down probably. It was a great effort. At first, I thought he's got to score. But then you look back and you go, no, it's just a great instinctive effort. And it's so close. And we had, again, I feel like I've been saying this for a few years, Paul. In the second half, we didn't have clear-cut chances, but we had opportunities to create an opportunity, if you know what I mean. And the final ball, or the final ball before the final ball, was just so poor. And thank God we've got this actor on loan. And please, please, please say that we can get him till the end of the season. Or, you know, in a dreamland, could we sign him? Could we get him from Blackpool? Could we do a Leo Connor type thing and just take him? You know, I'm thinking that. I'm hoping that Blackpool do well in League One and end up getting promoted because there's more chance of a signing them in, aren't there? Because they'll go, if we're going to be in the Championship next year, we need a slightly higher caliber of player. But he is so far above, streets above the rest of our players in terms of creativity, in terms of getting the ball. Do you know when you get someone, you just go, looks like a player? And do you know who he reminds me of? And Nick Roberts said it as well on Saturday, and a few other people said it. He looks like a Dale Jennings type. Not only does he actually physically look like him from behind, and he's like short, stocky, strong, fast, quick, the way he plays. And we haven't had a player like that in years. I'd say Tollett was the closest, but he was more of a tall, you know, he was taller and like lankier. But it was that pace, it was that directness, wasn't it? And that ability on the ball and the ability, you know, not scared to take your man on, beat your man. And we've been crying out for a player like him for seasons and seasons. And, you know, he's going to get injured in the next game. And, you know, I've said that. Saturday, he'll do his cruciate ligament. And that's it. But he really has been a bright spark. And he made the goal on Saturday, yeah, when he ran the show. against Forest Green. Obviously, got his first league goal for us. And he has been the bright spark, hasn't he, Apter?
Yeah, no, I think him and Connor been there, and the goalie, I suppose, as well.
God love Connor, yeah.
Those three, I think, have been the only ones that you could say can hold the red up high and say that they've, you know, had decent seasons so far.
You've got to ask the question, Paul, why has Apter not been playing?
Well, yeah, exactly. That was the point I was going to make, actually, because...
He's been here since August.
He's come in these last 3 or 4 weeks and looks really good. Why have we not seen him? I mean, I know that Adkins keeps banging on about, you know, he's shattered, this, that and the other. You know, he's playing 70, 75 minutes, whatever. But whether he wasn't, you know, quite fit enough or whatever, but...
Get him a Red Bull. Get him a Pink Monster. I've got some here. I'll drop some off at the campus.
Yeah, but what might have been if we'd have seen him a bit sooner. But he looks a good little player, and hopefully we can keep him, as you say, keep him fit, keep him on good form, because you know what happens when we get players that hit a little bit of form, they tend to go down with something.
Yeah.
Either a suspension or a... And there's always some kind of suspension of their good form. For one reason or another. So, let's hope he keeps playing well and keeps creating lots of chances because, like you say, he's by far the most creative player that we've got in this squad, for sure.
Well, speaking of, you know, players who have done well for us, vital players, and then get injured, Mr. Luke Norris, Paul, barely been back since his injury in August. But remember, he didn't start the season as well. He was injured.
This is the point I want to make.
Yeah, well, so we'll just...
We signed him crocs.
Go on. Yeah, it was metatarsal he was injured with, wasn't it, when we signed him?
Yeah.
And he missed... He didn't start... His first appearance was MK Don's second game. I know he came on, didn't he, for like the last 20 minutes of
came
the...
Came on for 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, they looked really... Again, looked really good, him and Dennis up front there. And then played against MK Don's. Should have scored. You know, he missed that absolute sitter in the MK Dons game. And who knows, was that a sliding doors moment? Because if he scores that, we equalise. And we should have won that game. That's the best I've seen us play in years away from home, that second half. The whole game was good, but the second half at MK Dons, we dominated it. Him and Connor should have had a couple. Oh, and who knows where we'd be if they'd have gone in. But he ends up getting injured a couple of weeks later, doesn't he? It was still August he was injured. It was the Salford game, wasn't it?
Beginning of September, was it?
So, yeah, it might have been, because obviously he had the great game against Harrogate. So, and that was his knee. It was a knee injury, wasn't it? So he does his knee. He comes back against his old club, Stevenage, in the FA Cup, scores. We lose that 1-4-3. And we're thinking, right, okay, we're out of the cup. Let's concentrate in the league. Comes back in, plays the next week. We beat Forest Green 3-0. And we're just a better team with him in, aren't we? But here's the thing, Paul. You can't rely on one player. I don't care who you are. He's not Lionel Messi. He's not Cristiano Ronaldo. He's not Ronaldinho in, you know, 2003. A player like him, a team like ours, we shouldn't be. So no team should be reliant on one player like this, because you're just asking for trouble. And especially knowing, you know... If you look at his career, he's always been an injury-prone player. He always has been, hasn't he? He's never played more than like 20 games at a go without... And it's never serious injuries. It's ones where he's out for a couple of months, 2 months at a time. And that's exactly what we found. He was metatarsal in the summer when we signed him. Then he's done his knee. Do we even know what this one is? Is it...
Not heard anything, no.
Not heard nothing. All I've been heard on the grapevine is he's out till February, is what I've been told. But they said don't expect to see him until February. So that's what, 3 months? 3 months out, you know?
Yeah.
Rest of November, December, January. A big time. How many games are we going to be playing? 15, 20 games, you know, we're going to play over this period.
My point is, do we not learn? Do we not learn our lessons from previous experience?
No.
We signed the lad from Liverpool. I can't even remember his name, though. Last year. Was it last year or the year before?
Who are we talking, striker?
Striker, yeah. What's his name?
Oh, Glatzel. Poor Glatzel.
Poor Glatzel, sorry.
God bless his soul.
Yeah, he's that good. I forgot all about him. We signed him. He was crocs. He came back in. He lasted, what, 10 minutes and got crocs again. And
it was classic, that one.
Yeah, I'm not questioning his ability per se. I'm not questioning Luke Norris's ability because, you know, he's done tremendously well when he's in the team. But he's played like 5 games.
Yeah.
And if he's going to be out for another 2 or 3 months, as you say, you know, that's money that we could have maybe used, you know, on somebody else is all I'm saying. You know, we signed him, he was injured. Obviously, it's unfortunate, but you know, he has a history of you know, prolonged spells of injury.
Yeah, it's not just, is it, Paul? It's not just bad luck. They can argue, you go, oh, it's just bad luck, but it's not just bad luck when these things consistently, we sign players with known injury records. Glatzel was known, wasn't he? He was known, and it had happened the season before, and then we sign him. And then, you know, is it just bad luck? Because wasn't it with Glatzel? It wasn't the same knee, it was the other knee. Exactly with Tollett, when we brought Tollett back, and in his first game, in the first half an hour in, he does his other knee, and you think, what is going on? Is my theory of Prenton Park being built on an ancient Indian burial ground true? But more in this case, Paul, like you're right, we're signing these players. So when you're doing your scouting, and remember, we were the best prepared we've ever been, Paul. Oh, and the scouting team and the recruitment team, oh, beyond reproach. Sign these players. And, you know, anyone now, the beauty of it is, I can pop on Transfer Market or, you know, Wikipedia, and I can get their stats, and you can see the minutes they've played, and you can see the injuries they've had. And it doesn't, you know, my mum could go on. I could go on Transfer Market. Mum, I could bring her out live and go on Transfer Market and look at Luke Norris's career, and you'll see his injury. You can look at Glatzel's thing.
It's not the worst feature we've ever thought of.
God, not saying something, is it? When's Paul's up? I'll break back. Absolutely. Oh, Jake's Journey. That was the one I hated, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Jake's Journey. Just because you've had a bad journey to Woking once and you saw someone run into a stop sign, that became a feature. God. No wonder, isn't it, that Trip to the Moon gets all the good guests in it and we get no one. We can't even get Jake Keogh on. Oh, the good old days, Paul. But it just sums up. You know what, at the minute, Paul, with this club, and I think everyone's just at this point where I still care, obviously, but I'm getting to that point where I just go, I honestly don't care anymore. I honestly don't. Like, it's just like, you know, whatever. We're a joke, we're a shambles. I expect nothing. I've never expected anything. I go into almost every game going, we'll probably lose. I don't care who. Even in the National League, I was like, you know what? It's Tranmere. I expect a defeat. The old saying, Jasper Carrot said about Birmingham, you lose some, you draw some. And then... It's that, but it's more so than ever now. I just go in. I expect the absolute. I don't even expect the bare minimum out of this. But that's a point where you look at what we did last Saturday against Forest Green at this level, and I still think, strangely, Paul, I look at the squad we've got. I think there's good players there. I said on Radio Merseyside before they nearly kicked me off for libel the other week. Don't think I'll be back on there anytime soon. You look at the players in this squad, okay? This is just off the top of my head. I'm going to do it again. Jordan Turnbull, he's been promoted from this division, hasn't he? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Northampton, was he promoted with?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know,
he's promoted a couple of times, I think.
Paul Lewis, certainly if he was promoted with Northampton, yeah. And then you've got Christian Dennis and Luke Norris, the top scorers for both their respective teams last year, both promoted. Luke McGee, promoted with Forest Green. Regan Hendry, promoted with Forest Green 2 seasons ago. I mean, that's just off the top of my head there. I'm sure that Brad Walker, promoted with Port Vale 2 seasons ago. So, over half the starting 11. You know, Colin Jennings, promoted with us 4 years ago. And promoted from the National League. You know, but, you know, these are all players who've been promoted from this division within the last 3 or 4 seasons. And they're all in our starting lineup. What's going on, Paul? These are all players, and it's not like any of these are now, you go, oh, they're over the hill. They're all like in the, you know, 20s still. or maybe it's Tom Davis in his early 30s, but Tom Davis wasn't in that group. They're all in the 20s, so they're all in the prime of their careers. What's happened, Paul? These are players who've been in promotion-winning sides from this division within the last three or four seasons. They're in our starting lineup now, and we're fucking third bottom. What's going on? The common denominator is Tranmere Rovers. The recruitment, it's the coaching, mate, isn't it? This is it. This is the one thing, and this is why. And we all love Parky, and you worked with him for years when you were at the club, you and Jake, and you say, oh, what a guy Parky is. And you were like, oh, he's so good with the youth team. Get him back with the youth team. And you said to me, Paul, as well, and Jake, you were like, he didn't want to get involved with the first team. He was like, no, I want to stay working with the young lads. That's what I want to do. Get rid of Parky. He's been there throughout this with the Doors disaster. That's what we can call it. The moment that Doors came into this football club, it's been a fucking disaster. He was nothing but bad for this club. And you look, where's he going to end up next? If you looked at his past, and I said this on the show before he even got the job, I was like, I don't want him. You look at it, you judge a person by the company, and look, he's tight with those, I forget the names, what are they, those chances, the Vaughans, yeah, not James Vaughan. Yeah, exactly, Banger.
Stephen Vaughan.
Yeah, and who was the rugby club that they, was it Widnes Rugby Club? They nearly took to the Barrow. Everywhere they go, they leave a trail of destruction and clubs almost dying. And with Chester, they had to literally physically reform and start again. And you know what? One day I'd love Chester to get back in the Football League. I would, because you know, as much as we've had the rivalries, look at them, they're a proper football club, unlike Wrexham, but that's for another story. There's been some drama with them today, haven't they? See that guy? Was he the commentator or the announcer? It's just tweeted like in the last few hours going, I am no longer anything to do with Wrexham. I have no more to say.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Drink those wet Wrexham tears in while we can. That's all we've got. it's, and we've been saying it for so long now, the recruitment and the coaching are the two issues at this football club. And it needs a clear out. It needs a complete clear out, but it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. No manager that's come in has been able to bring in their own backroom staff, which is bonkers. Like, you look at the best managers in the world, and obviously I'm not, but any manager, if I was going in somewhere as a football club, you'd want your coaches you know and you trust to come in with you. You can't expect a manager to come in and go, oh, these coaches have been here for the last 5 years of abject failure. It's all right if they stay on, is it? You go, absolutely not. I'm not saying sack Parky. I'm saying put Parky back with the kids to do what he's good at and what he wants to do. I'm at my wit's end with this football club, Paul. If this was a relationship, I'd be, you know, my mates would be going, just split up with her, just end it. Why are you still with her? And you'd be like, oh, we've had some good times though. Wembley 2018, Wembley 2019. But at some point, you know, Tash always goes to me, this constantly says to me, why do you even like still go to the game and watch them? Like, all they do is annoy you and make you sad. And I'm like, stop talking sense. Stop talking sense from someone who's never been into football, because I can say, you don't get it, do you? And she's like, well, no, but like, I still don't understand why you do. And like, the more like she's getting through to me, Paul, it's like, why do I bother? Do you know what I mean? And I don't let it get to me anymore. Not that I was ever one of those people, Joe, like lived and died by it, because some people do, but then who am I to judge in a way? I know there's some people, like the football club's their life. They work in probably a job they hate all week. And the weekend and the Saturday, they get to see the mates, go to the game, and it's an outlet. It's the one thing they look forward to. And like, for a lot of people, if your club is Tranmere at the minute and that's what you're looking forward to, then Jesus Christ, Paul. You know, thank God Christmas is coming, because we all need a bit of a... It's just not, and like, the ground's not a good place to go. The cold club is just, isn't it? Like, feels like we're back where we were before the Palliosis took over, isn't it? Do you remember when it was just, and you were there, Paul? I mean, for God's sake, they hired you. That's how bad things got. If you end up back at the club, Paul, in a position, that's it for me, Paul. I'll be out. I'm gone.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. So don't need to worry.
Well, I mean, but, you were there, weren't you, during the transitional period and the takeover last time, and you saw how things, there was just no love for the club, was there? It was falling apart, the stadium, you know, there was no investment. Do you see, obviously not in the club now, but what, you see the parallels in just, you know, how stagnant we are, and just there's no care anymore at the club?
I'm going to choose my words carefully.
Go on.
I can see parallels to this season and the the 2014-15 season.
How did that end up, by the way, for people who don't remember?
To a degree. I mean, we finished rock bottom.
Yeah.
I can't say it's a lack of care, because having worked with them, albeit we might not get on as well as I've got on with previous people I've worked with, but to say that they don't care.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
Would be wrong.
No, do you know what I mean?
Say that they don't want things to improve and they've got the best interests of the club at heart. I genuinely think they do.
No, I agree with you.
What I would say is maybe the league and clubs around us. I mean, you mentioned Wrexham, and obviously they're a prime basket case in hand. But there's strong competition now to be signing, let's face it, average players for this level. And you've got clubs paying silly money, and then clubs like ourselves who don't want to, you know, splash money for fun, which is fine. You know, we still want a football club for the next few decades and beyond. But you end up with the dregs. And I do think it needs some fresh blood at the top, and maybe, you know, investment and somebody to come in and, you know, maybe sweep the floor clean and you know, change the direction. What I've been most frustrated with is that I don't see any direction. Like, we waited 6 weeks to appoint a man who was already in charge. Why didn't we just do it when he was appointed caretaker?
Well, it goes back, Paul, to we waited, you know, we had Dawes as an interim for what, the last 10 games of the season, and then waited till the middle of the summer, and then we announced him as the manager.
I don't see where we're going. I don't see.
What is the plan?
I don't see the bigger plan.
What is the direction of the club?
He mentioned that, you know, we want a young coach, we're going to bring in young coaches into the coaching team, and then so we're not appointed, you know, and then the manager leaves, coach comes in and takes over, and it's, you know, that gradual transition sort of thing. Immediately we've moved away from that. Ugh. And appointed Nigel Adkins. I'm not saying that's a bad appointment by any means, but it's completely against what you said 2 or 3 months earlier.
Paul, it's a direct, and then, you know, it's exactly the opposite of what you just said in that interview with Trip to the Moon.
Yeah.
It's a direct contradiction.
And then the timing of the Adkins appointment was, I mean, if we'd have been on the back of a victory or, you know, a little run of positive results, but no, we'd won 1 in 10 or something.
I think, hadn't we lost 7 on the bounce? Or 6? Yeah. Was it 6 defeats on the bounce? On the bounce?
And that just tells you what you need to know, doesn't it?
Get someone get on Transfer Market, the manager section or something. Any other football boffins, and I class myself as a football boffin, but can someone tell me, has any other manager in the history of professional football, or even amateur football, been an interim caretaker manager, lost 6 games on the run, and got the job? It's never happened, Paul. I can't think of it, because why would it? You'd go, thanks for stepping in, but you're not very good at this job. Get someone else in. I just, Paul, I go back.
Listen, I'm not saying that he's the not the right man for the job per se, because I think he's obviously had a very good career in management over the years, albeit not incredibly recently. But he's been in charge a dozen games now. I've not seen any real improvement apart from maybe last weekend against Forest Green. I've not seen any real improvement to the glaring it's glaringly obvious what's going wrong. We keep making stupid mistakes.
And no protection for the back four.
The defence is all over the shop. There's no protection for it. And I've not seen any sort of changes to try and improve that. And, yeah, he's taking the job permanently, and that's fine. I'm not against that. I'm not going to be shouting for his head anytime soon. But it's just, it's very strange, isn't it? Like you say, it wouldn't happen with many other clubs. And if the idea was to appoint him regardless anyway, why didn't you just do it when you sat doors? I don't understand. And yeah, we've gone a different direction. Are we trying to bring in young players to, you know, to develop them? And that's fine, developing players like Ethan Bristow. But if we're producing, if we're developing players for other teams to benefit from, yeah, great. But are we going to develop ourselves? Are we going to develop our team? Are we going to improve our team? It's all, and then obviously these plans keep changing week to week, seemingly, you know, from the outside looking in, and it just looks a mess. And you know, I'm sure that Mark and Nicola have got their plans, and they've got an idea of what's going on, and you know, we've not heard too much from them apart from that interview that they did with Matt and Rich.
But we'll talk about that in a bit.
But yeah, it just seems to be a bit chaotic, let's say, for want of a better word.
Well, I'll go on record now. I do not think for one second that Mark and Nicola do anything but the best interest for Tranmere Rovers Football Club. I don't. They want us, you know, they're not actively trying to do bad things. Okay. They've just made bad decisions, several of them on the run in the last several seasons. And
which owners of clubs don't.
Of course. Well, who doesn't make bad decisions, mate? I made a bad decision when I responded to you back in 2016 going, do you want to come and do a podcast for Tranmere?
Yeah. And renewing your season ticket in the summer.
Oh, God. Yeah. But don't rack up old graves. Come on. but you've got to be. For me, it comes where we all make mistakes. You all make bad decisions in life. But you've got to own them and own up to them and go, God, that was a mistake. I apologise. And when it affects, you know, when you're the custodian of a football club like this, come out and just say, look, you know, look, I got the doors one was wrong. But the saying I always use is, if you're willing to take the plaudits and the adulation when things go well, you've got to be willing to take the blame and accept responsibility when things go bad. You can't have it both ways. And I know a lot of people I've met in my time who are the opposite of that. They're the first people there go, me, I'm responsible for this good stuff. Give me all the praise. But when the shit hits the fan and things go wrong, they're nowhere to be seen. And suddenly you're getting pushed. And it's like, hang on a minute. Why am I taking the blame? And you've got to be honest, be responsible, say we got this wrong. Because I feel like that interview that they did, there was no accepting of blame. There was no, you know, we got that wrong, we got this wrong, the recruitment's been poor. I just look back to the summer, Paul, and I think about, you know, we had Brian Barry Murphy ready to go, done, and then at the last minute. And I said at the time, if you speak to people in the game, we're known for deal is done, and at the last minute, we, from players, just go, we're pulling 200 quid a week off. We change the terms slightly because we think deal's done and they don't want to go through the faff. And we've missed out on so many players over the last few years from doing that. And the Brian Barry Murphy thing, he's agreed to bring in his own coaching staff because that's the way we should be going. Get them in and we want to go with this. He's, you know, he's at Man City's academy, the best team in the world. Forget about the financial problem, but the reason financial issues is why they're the best team in the world, because they've got the best players and the best coaches and the best young players, because they can just cherry pick them. And we would have, you know, it was the opportunity and we fucked it and we gave it to Ian Dawes, a guy who's what, managed at Bangor. Every club that Stephen Vaughan's, you know, that club in Malta, Valletta, it's not Valletta, is it? You know, I mean, what? Yeah. That's like going, do you want a fillet steak or do you want this pile of steaming dog shit that's just been laid outside? And, you know, On what planet was that the right decision? It's not. Just admit you got it wrong and the recruit, oh, this is the model we're going for, young players. And then, you know, we're scrambling around now. So we signed Strike, who's injured. The squad's unbalanced. And, you know, on the Adkins thing, and I'll give, you said, what's he done? I'll say, to be, he changed finally. And he's been in charge, interim charge, for how long now? 3 months. He finally changed the formation from the 4-3-3 to 4-4-2 last Saturday for Forest Green, and we won the game. And we looked so much more solid. Turnbull and Davis suddenly looked so much more back to their old selves last two games. Last season, because they are the two good, solid League Two defenders. Last season, I said I can't think of a better defence than we had last year. I couldn't. We've got to stick with that formation now. But it's, you know, Walker as protection. For me as well, why get Leo Connor back into that protective defensive midfield role if we need it? Why has he not been put back there? He was so good there for us last year. Remember, was it the Mansfield game on Friday and he absolutely clattered? I've got a gif of it on my phone. He clattered someone in like the first 5 minutes. Just an absolute all-time smasher of a tackle. He did one in the Newcastle game as well, didn't he? Just an absolute sprinted the length of the pitch and nearly snapped someone in half. Well, on Adkins, and this is, so when in the interview Palace did, and he said, we're no longer giving jobs to, you know, we're sick of the managerial merry-go-round, these people have not achieved anything, managers on the way down. Okay, Nigel Adkins, Paul, smashed it 15, 20 years ago with, you know, Scunthorpe, or even with Bangor, he did really well. Scunthorpe, Southampton. Yeah, there was two big ones. And, you know, he was sacked for Pochettino, which at the time everyone was fuming about, but then look at Pochettino. Since then, Reading, yeah, relegated from the Prem. But, you know, you can't really blame him for that. And then he was sacked from there with them around the playoff places. That's not bad. He goes to Sheffield United, yeah, gets sacked from there with them at their lowest league position in their history, yeah. Goes to Hull, doesn't do great there. I think he does all right at Hull, doesn't he? But he leaves. I think it was mutual consent. He left. He wasn't sacked. Goes to Charlton. Yeah, my family down south are all Charlton fans. And when he was appointed, they went, Leaves Charlton at their lowest league position ever. So that's two clubs he's been at, and he's left them at their lowest league position ever. That was his last job. It's now 12 years. Oh, no, so it's 10 years since he left Southampton, January 2013. So he's exactly what Mark was saying we don't want. So by his, this is what I mean about, like, what you're saying, you're not reaping what you sow. What you can't tell us, the fan base, with a straight face, we're not appointing managers on the downward trend who've not achieved anything for years, when you've literally just done that. And when you've literally just appointed a manager who's lost his last six games in charge of us as a caretaker. And you just think, if that's what we're getting told, like, publicly, what's going on behind the scenes, isn't it? It's just, oh, Paul, this football club.
Don't really know what else to say, to be honest.
Which is, no, there's
which is not great when you're doing a podcast.
a man of few words.
Yeah, no, like you say, it was a bit contradictory.
It is, and you know that
I'm guessing he was the only one. He wanted to work with the current structure.
That could be true, Paul. You know, the ones who go, if you're coming in, you're going to work with Dans and Parkinson under you. And, you know, this coaching setup has not worked for the last 4 or 5 years, has it? You know, ever since.
It's hard to, sorry, Matt. It's hard to judge the coaching side, you know, from the outside looking in. You just see, obviously all we see is the 90 minutes on the pitch, which effectively is, you know, what they've been preparing. So that is what they've been coached, you would assume. Now, like you said, like Parky, I've been out on the training pitch when he's been doing sessions. He's a great coach. And I'm not saying that he's you know, a bad coach for the first team to have, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing some great sessions and the players probably enjoy, you know, working with him.
Well, he had a good career as well, Paul, at a decent level, didn't he? Championship level. So you should have the respect of the players at this level, certainly.
So I'm not entirely sure it's to do with coaching. I don't know Neil Dans, and you know he did all right at Macclesfield, didn't he? But I think anybody could have probably taken over Macclesfield and won the league.
Yeah, big sure. Fish, small pond, isn't it? At the minute with them, heavily backed at that level.
Yeah, but like you said, formation and getting the right players in the right positions, and I think it's more to do with that, and I think it's more to do with attitude as well. And this is something that I couldn't help but notice on Saturday. Regan Hendry with his hat, his gloves, his you know, he looked freezing on the way out to the warm up when on that little video, and everybody else is in the t-shirt and the shorts, and he looked like it was, you know, he was going out to the North Pole.
I mean, I've never been one to have a go at the players who wear a glove and hat and stuff.
Yeah. And listen, when I play five-a-side outside and it's cold, I'm wearing all that stuff. But I'm just saying it's a mentality thing. And to me, I'm looking at him and thinking, does he really fancy it today?
Well, he's
gone out to warm up.
He's been
a coat, scarf,
like he's going
gloves on. You know, like he's going on a polar expedition.
Yeah, I was about to say that, exactly. He's been poor this season, Hendry. And again, look, was he the captain of Forest Green 2 years ago when they stormed the league with the Luton manager now? Rob Edwards is his name. Is it Rob Edwards?
Yeah.
Who's now, you know, took Luton into the Premier
not
League.
Not that one.
No, God. Obviously, we always pick the wrong one, don't we? He's been atrocious this season. He's almost sums up, like, I mean, have you seen the free kick he took in injury time on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah, it was on, someone put it on Twitter, thankfully. I don't know what to, he almost sums up our issues in that he looks unfit. He's so physically weak. Like, he just gets pushed. He's got in centre mid. I loved Paul. My favourite footballers have always been the mercurial footballers. I don't like the big brute footballers and the big physical ones and the big speedsters. I like footballers, and he is a footballer, but you've still got to be able to get stuck in, mix it. You've got to, I don't care what level you're playing, you've got to be able to at least match the physical battle first to win the right to play. And, you know, my favourite players are your Pirlos, your Berbatovs, these just magicians who just go, okay, I'll smoke 40 a day, but get me on that pitch, mate, and I'll run the game. Don't need to leave the centre circle. He's been he's so weak, he's so poor, but he's one of the few players yet to be dropped from this 11. And I just think, you know, what is going on? That free kick, Paul, it's the 93rd minute. It's a great position. Whip it in. The Turnbull's up, Davis is up. We've got big lads. And he just hits it all the way out there for a goal kick. And you just think, what the fuck are you doing? It just again, sums it up. And you just go, I turn the game off and put Sogazati on. That's it. Yeah, it was a minute ago. It's just that level of poor quality. And you're talking about the coaching there, Paul. I know a guy, and again, I'm not going to say names or stuff like that. I know a guy, and he's involved in like FA coaching. And as part of his job, he goes round to different clubs, you know, and observes sessions, just stuff like that. And he did a few days at the campus, and he saw like the sessions we were doing and stuff. And he said, they are not sessions that you'd expect a League Two club to be doing. He said, the thing with professional footballers now is they need to be, I think it was invigorating sessions, ones that, you know, they feel like they come out and they go, I've learned something, I've enjoyed it, and I feel like that's improved, and I know what going into the weekend's game, these sessions have helped us prepare for this game. He said ours are 10 years behind what is getting done, not just at the top level, but is what's getting done at our level now. And I think you've seen that this season, and I think this goes back to Dawes coming in the summer, in the he was not good enough to be coaching or managing a club at our level. And the fact that that's someone saying that, and he's got no, there's no bias at all. he goes to clubs all over the country and all over Europe and even all over the world and observes sessions. And he was flabbergasted at the standard of the coaching that was going on. And on. Hopefully Adkins there now. And, you know, Dan's being more involved because he's a new coach, you know, and he's come through new. Hopefully it's improving. And maybe you've seen the slight upturn in results in the last couple of weeks, maybe, as a result of that. But it was eye-opening. But then on one hand, I was like, it doesn't surprise me because we've always said, especially this season, what are we doing on the training pitch? We looked unfit, like weak, and just clueless at times compared to other teams. Even like on the opening day, Barrow, you looked at them and they were so, it's been well-drilled, isn't it? That's the thing. Now, at this level, you don't have to have the best players. You don't have to have the best team. If you just well-drilled, do the basics and don't make stupid mistakes, you can certainly be okay. And to be honest, you can go pretty far. I would argue, you look at the team that got promoted out of League Two under Mickey in 2019, I think that's what we were. We were just so well-drilled. Every player knew what they were doing. And obviously we had Norris having the season of his life helped. Yeah. But that's what you need. If you're just well drilled, do the basics, don't make stupid mistakes, and everyone knows what they're doing, that can get you to, you know, your mid table, you're solid. But then if you have a couple of players who are really at it, like we had Norris, it can get you promoted, and that's what we had. We were, you know, look at that team, the players in there. There's no real, you know, we were bang average is probably harsh, but you know, we were just a good solid side, and we had that bit of magic, and that's what got us over the line. You look at this now. And you think, again, just stuff like that free kick. And you go, what's that? What are you doing? You're wasting these opportunities. It's sloppy. And you look at the mistakes we're making. We're getting just battered in midfield up until the last few weeks where we've shorted up with the 4-4-2. And, yeah, just, I mean, you know, I think people will hear me say this and go, makes this season and the shite we've been served up make sense when you hear someone saying that. Someone with, again, no prejudices. He's not a Tranmere fan. You know, it was just him giving an honest opinion. I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, on one hand, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I can't believe it. But it's that, the levels of training. And there's someone else's knows people in it as well. And I spoke to him via DM a few weeks ago. And he was like, yeah, the same. It's the same guy he knows. And it was like, yeah, it's not good enough, is it? And it sums up what was actually, Paul, it sums up what we've seen on the pitch. Unfit, not physical enough, not strong enough, and just nowhere near well drilled in all aspects of the game as pretty much every other team in this division. And it goes back to the recruitment and the coaches that we've got and the coaching that we do. And, you know, we are where we are. And I personally don't think Adkins is the man to change that and take us forward. I hope he is. We all just want Tranmere to be successful, don't we? And just decent and good and get results on and off the pitch.
Just not shite.
We don't. We literally don't ask for much, do we? Because God knows, you know, we know what we are. We should probably talk about Paul.
Just before we move on, just the mentality thing. I don't know if you saw the Didier Deschamps video.
No.
From half time on Saturday, where he's he's saying, well done, boys, it's 7-0.
Oh, but they had Gibraltar.
By the way, the record win is 10-0. We can go and smash that. And obviously they did. They got 14.
Oh, I felt so sorry for them watching it.
It's just, no, well, yeah, I feel sorry for them as well. But it's that mentality thing where, you know, going for it, we're going to, you know, break these records, we're going to score lots of goals. And it was just something that Leo Connor said in his post-match interview. And he said, well, if you'd have asked anyone if 4 points out of six from Sutton and Forest Green, you would have taken it. And I'm like, those are the two worst teams in the division. And we should be aiming for 6 points. And it's just that happy to be
bare minimum,
average, you know, mediocre.
Mm.
We should be really disappointed that we didn't get 6 points from two of the easiest games we're going to have this season.
Especially, Paul, when you're 1-0 up in the 89th minute. Do you know what I mean? McGee has to make a save.
And I know it's just a comment in an interview, but it goes back to that mentality thing I was mentioning before. And just, You know, I don't think the mentality has been right all season long.
It hasn't.
You know, we've seen, you know, how many times have we seen, you know, arms up in the air, you know, arguing between each other, you know, stupid, basic individual errors that have been costing us week after week after week. And as I say, it's that mentality of, you know, we need to do better.
The discipline as well, Paul. The discipline. Look at the red cards exactly, we've had. Yeah. Pathetic. Mm-hmm. And they've all been stupid red cards. Every single one of them has been, you've gone, what are you doing, you stupid idiot?
Including Joe Murphy, who wasn't even on the pitch.
I mean, speaking of stupid idiots, Harvey Saunders, honest to God, mate. Again, I don't want to pile on, but like, we've had some shockers at this club, especially in, I think back to like that first season in the National League. And some of them players we signed, and you know, they've gone on to just fall further and further down the pyramid to just laughable levels. This Saunders kid, I don't know what's going on. He runs fast. My cats run fast when I throw a ping pong ball down the stairs, or I get a feather and float it down. He'd be best served, Paul, in, do you like wind farms? If you could set up like a kinetic energy farm, so where you could, you know, harness someone running really fast to produce energy, get a big hamster wheel or something, or a running machine, put him on it. And do you know, like in like cartoons where they like get like a hat with like a ring of sausages on the end and put it on a dog, and the dog just keeps running, thinking it's getting closer to the sausages. Do that and power the floodlights at Prenton Park for a game or something. He's not, he's got no football brain. He's exactly what I was just saying then. Why my hatred for footballers who were just like big physical or like dead quick. Like Theo Walcott was my arch nemesis for years because I was like, there's no football brain there. He's just quick. Take his pace away and what's he got? Nothing. And it shows that because he retired young. Do you know what I mean? He could have, he retired at what, 32, 33 when he should be playing on. You know, if you're a footballer and you enjoy football and you've got a football brain, you want to play for as long as you can. He's just got nothing there. Here's my example I use. Look at him and look at Connor Jennings. Look at Connor Jennings and how he uses the football brain. He just hasn't got one. And I don't want players like that in my team. You've got to be outstanding, like incredibly fast and off a sudden. He's just got nothing. His decisions with the ball are pathetic, ridiculous. He got that stupid red card. Sums it up, mate. Why is he playing? How was he playing in that team for so long ahead of Apta? Apta must have been sat there going, what the hell's going on here? He probably was the one. He went and bought a ring of sausages from the butchers and put it up in the training in the campus and was like, look, get me in instead. Just, oh, Paul. And again, I don't like pick on players, but like he's just, it's just so poor. Consistently making the wrong decisions, just running really fast. Everyone should try hard. It's a bare minimum we expect. Try as hard as you can. That doesn't make you a good player. I don't think he's good enough for this club. He was from Bristol Rovers. They were like, he was decent there. I don't know if they were looking at a different player. For me, nah, I'm not having it. Hendry at the minute, good footballer, like him. He's not good enough at the minute. He's too weak, too physically weak. Not offering enough. Like you said, Paul, get that hat off. Get to what next week? I want to see Regan Hendry playing completely naked. That'll teach him, won't it? Saturday afternoon in Birkenhead in November. Start ball naked.
Yeah.
Get stuck in, son. Get stuck in. Go ahead, yeah. Tell you what, meet me on the Woody in an hour. We'll have a game of Red Arse down on the rec centre. Before we wrap it up, Paul, we should talk about the... There's rumours at the minute, Paul. I don't know if you're familiar with them or aware of them, about the possible investments or someone buying the club. I don't know if you've heard anything. Have you? What do you know? What have you heard on this front?
I've probably seen similar rumours to what you have, but I haven't heard anything that more from anyone.
No, I've got nothing
who
concrete.
I would say
trustworthy.
Trustworthy, let's say.
JKO. But,
I mean, he, in that interview he did, he made no bones about it, that he was looking for investment from outside or, you know, to move the club on. And that there were interested parties, so... interesting to see what happens, really.
Yeah, see, there's a guy I don't know him really, but like, you know, every now and again, he'll pop up with some information. And he's one of them where normally, nine times out of 10, he's been right. And even the ones he's been wrong on, it's been like, he's not been wrong. He's been correct, but it just hasn't panned out. He says there's something quite big coming. He said, think like Peterborough type level. Do you know what I mean? Like a real decent, I don't know if it's a complete takeover or just a big investment. So yeah, do you know what? I mean, God knows we need it. But then do you know what football club, even the ones in the Prem, what football club's going to say we don't need more investment? Other than that, your cities, you know, your ones that are owned by these oil states, pretty much every single football club. Look at Man United, for God's sake. Maybe the biggest club in the world. Mm. Trying to get that investment, aren't they? Yeah. We need something. I mean, I look at last year, Gillingham got took over, didn't he? And then went, got a few decent players and then Jan and got out of trouble. And they're trying to kick on this year. We've got them Saturday, haven't we? Is it Gillingham at home we've got this Saturday? Gillingham at home and Mansfield away on the Tuesday. Yeah, I mean, first things first, we need to clear out some of the dead wood in January. But, you know, who the hell are we going to convince to take some of this shit? You know what I mean? It's like when you go to the charity shop and they go, no, we're not taking stuff at the minute, mate. And you're like, no, it's free. And you go, no. We've got enough. Take that bin bag back out. And you're like, oh, I can't think. Yeah, it's going to be very hard to shift some of our players because some of them players, we spoke about this before, know full well that they ain't getting a contract like they've got here. I'm not naming any names, Paul Lewis. They're not going to get the money that they're in here anywhere else. And so they ain't going anywhere unless we're paying a share. So, no, but we desperately need some investment, don't we? And but then it's one of them, Paul. If we get some money in investment, are you confident that the current, you know, manager, coach, owners will use it well? I'm not. Not at all. Not in the slightest. Silence said it all there, Paul.
Yeah. My hesitation sort of suggests maybe not. But, you know, to be fair, in January, we've normally done our better business. We mess it up all in the summer and ruin the good work that we've done in the January the next summer. But, I don't know.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Paul? What's David Perkins up to? Perky Worky.
Yeah. He was at Macclesfield, wasn't he, last year?
Is he actually still playing?
I think he was still playing, yeah. I think so. But anyway. It needs something. It just the club as a whole.
It does, doesn't it?
Just feels like everything's gone a bit stale.
Yeah, that's more the point I was saying earlier. I wasn't saying, like, it's just stagnant, stale. There's just, you know, no, it needs, I don't know if kick up the arse is the right word. It needs, like, just a boost, a serotonin boost, don't we all, Joe? Yeah. Just look, and by, you know what? A few wins, especially over the Christmas period, there's a lot of games. Get a couple of wins, couple of results. And here's the thing, and I say this all the time. I've said this on Merseyside. As a fan base, we still haven't really turned, have we, this year? And God knows we've had every right to just go mental. If we have a few results and things get going, we will back this team. We will get behind them. And we've continued to do so, even when the times have been atrocious this season. But when things turn and we can get going, it's that momentum we've always said. It's very hard. You can't start artificially generate momentum, but when you've got it, God, is it good and important, and it can take you a long way. And, you know, can you imagine, Paul, if we just, you know, in a couple of months, we're just sitting in like 13th safe. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? And this season's already. Yeah, it is. This season's a complete write off. Forget fucking playoffs and promotion. Because I saw someone still going, do you know what? We could turn around in January, we could still push on. Fucking forget that. Just get safe. Just get as safe as early as we can. Get out of this mess. And then next season, fucking have a summer where we don't fuck it up in every single way. You know, oh, Paul, this football club.
And the most important bit is to get to a stage where we've got more points than games that we've played.
Be nice, wouldn't it? More points on the board than we've got disciplinary points.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just give us that's all we ask. Give us a crumb of comfort.
And obviously, you know, there's talk of new stadium and I don't know.
Let's stay up first. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? That's what I said about
they've gone very quiet and
radio silence.
That's what time when we were, you know, Nigel Adkins kept going on about together we achieve more. That's, you know, a phrase that was on Mr. Palios's board quite often. But together means everybody, including them. And I'd quite like to hear from them and what their thoughts are and a bit more often. And obviously, you know, they've done that. They did that Mark did that interview with Matt Jones and that. But just keep us up to date as to what's going on, what's happening with the...
With everything?
With everything, yeah.
Take responsibility, Paul, is what I said. Take responsibility. Just say, I got this wrong. We make mistakes. Don't try and pretend. You know, again, the thing that the Stockman Radio Mayor said when I went, I said he lied on his interview he did. I said he lied about the Doors winning 7 games thing. And then he went, point out, you can't say lies. It's, untruths, didn't tell the truth. I went, well, he didn't. You know what I mean? Ian Doors did not win 7 games on the run at any point. And even, he won 4 league games on the run. No, was it 3 league games on the run? And a penalty shootout in the Papa John's was what it was. That was the reality of the situation. And an FA Cup game. So 3 league games, 4 games. I'm not counting a penalty shootout win as a win. So if it was 4 games in total and 3 in the league, that was it. And even so, even if he had won 7, you didn't give him the job based on them. That was 2.5 years ago in COVID. So you didn't give him, he had that run and you didn't give him the job. You gave Keith Hill the job. So even if it was true, do you know what I mean? It's like, what, these bizarre points. It's like, well, it's demonstrably not true. I've just proved it there. But it took 10 seconds to go back and look at the results to go, it's not true. So you're either thinking it's true and you're wrong, in which case admit you're wrong and got it. But do you know what I mean, Paul? But if here's the thing. If we were winning games and we were in 7th place, we wouldn't be having these conversations, would we? But when you're 3rd bottom of the Football League, you know, you start looking and delving into things, don't you, and asking questions that need to be asked. And, you know, it's not good enough. Their custodianship at the club over the last, you know, pretty much since we got promoted back into League One, has not been good enough. It's just been mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And at some point you go, you know, someone's got to take the blame and take blame's the right word, responsibility. Take responsibility for your actions. If I shit my pants, Paul, I don't go, well, it was the fault of the people who made that curry. Or I don't blame Yummies because I had that, you know, Yummies sheesh chicken kebab last night. I don't go in there and go, you made me shit my pants because you put chili sauce on it. I go, I just shit my pants because it's my fault. Take responsibility. Paul, when you shit yourself later because you had that curry, don't blame your wife. It's your fault for not getting the ball quick enough.
Yes.
There's your analogy of the day. I think it's time to wrap it up, Paul. On that bombshell. Yeah. People should probably follow us on the socials. We'll call this an ad break, can we? We're not sponsored by anything. And now time for bringing back one of everyone's favourite features on the pod. No, it's not Jake's journey because he's in prison. It's Paul's outbreak. Here we go, Paul.
Well, I did tweet, didn't I? Was it yesterday, last night, that Yummy still haven't
sponsorship.
With any sponsorship. We mentioned absolute them so many times.
Scandal. They give me a free garlic bread with cheese last night, though, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
That's a cat sponsor for me.
But yeah, if anybody does want to sponsor the show, not that you would want to, but
would you want your
DMs?
I don't like that my name's associated with this. Full stop.
But yeah, follow us on socials at Mr. Tranmere on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which is the main one. I'm trying to keep on top of it as best I can, despite the terrible results.
Yeah, not much you can do, is there?
Trying to keep it light. But yeah, follow us on there. We are going to try and do a bit more regularly, aren't we? It's been a busy few weeks.
It has, but do you know what, Paul? And we've said this the last couple of years.
And it's been
shortful. When the football's as bad as it is and the vibe around the ground is so bad, it is harder to jump on and do a pod, isn't it? When you think, you know, when things are good, you almost want to go on and be positive, don't you? But like all these turn into is like an hour of depressing,
right.
You know. Yeah. But then it's good to get off your chest. But when it's the same thing every few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, so when you were saying a few weeks ago, Paul, do you want to jump on? It's like we've just lost our ninth away game on the run. No. Definitely not.
But things are on the up now because we've got points.
Let's end it on a positive, Paul. We are unbeaten in two in the league. Yeah.
Yep.
We got our first point away from home.
We drew with Wigan in the B&M, whatever it is.
Bristol Street Motors Trophy, Paul. Get the sponsor. Maybe they'll sponsor us. They'll sponsor any old shite, obviously, won't they? Papa John's needs to sponsor something now. They haven't got the trophy.
Mm.
Yes, please. I'll pop in. There's a branch in Wadsley Village, isn't there? I'll pop in and speak to the organ grinder, see what they say.
Yeah.
And there's a Domino's just down the road as well, next to them. So I'll pop back and forth and play them off each other.
Yeah.
And go, listen, mate, Domino's want to sponsor us. Are you sure you don't want to get in on this deal of a lifetime?
Bidding war.
A bidding war, yeah. I'll get Castore in as well. They're interested, aren't they? Yeah. The good days, Paul. The good old days. Right then,
they would help us make better kits, by the way.
Would they?
I think so. Castore.
Can't get any worse than the Mills ones, can they? I've not bought one.
But
all I hear from people who buy them for the kids is two washers and the sponsors peeling off.
Yeah.
I had someone, Paul, genuinely.
Which reminds me, I've got a Carbrini one in the year.
Not that bright yellow one. Oh, my God. I've got one too still. Jesus.
With the blue and green stripes down the side. Oh,
God, atrocious. That home kit, for me, the home kit we had, there's two actually that spring to mind. So the one, the terrible, who was making the kits then? Wasn't Felix. It was Carbrini, wasn't it? So the home kit we wore the season we got relegated from League 2 was just pathetic. It was horrendous. I bought that shirt as well. Horrendous. And then the worst one ever is still the home shirt we had the first year in the National League.
Yeah.
It was horrendous shirt. It was absolutely. And then luckily after that, we switched to Puma, didn't we?
Yeah.
I really liked all the Puma shirts. I thought they were good. And I look at the kits that Puma are making now for teams. Mm-hmm. And they're not just all templates. They're good. Even like the lower league teams, I'm like, they're nice kits. Why did we switch from Puma to these? Who are Millsport? Who are they? Did they make kits for anyone else?
Indonesia.
Millsport are big in India. Did they make cricket?
Indonesia.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my mistake. I've never heard of them. Never seen anything else they make. And you know, never bought any of the stuff, but everyone who has tells me it's shite quality. I know someone who bought one for the kid, washed it. I think it was the first time, and the sponsor started peeling, and he took it in. And the person in the club shop went, "Yeah, we don't advise washing it in the washing machine." What do you mean? Anyway, it's best to hand wash it with cold water. What? What is it, the '70s? I'll just, do you know what? They say, don't dry it. Put it through one of them, you know, them roller things.
Mangles.
Yeah, put it through a mangle. Mrs. Mangle. Get it through one of them. Let's go back. The whole club's just still in the 1970s, isn't it? The good old days, though, Paul, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You born in the 70s?
No, I was not.
You know?
No, 1982.
Bad year, that 82, wasn't it? For many reasons.
Just after the Spanish World Cup.
Just after?
Yeah.
Spain, España 82, as they say. It was the mascot of Spain 82.
Who was it? It was like a little.
It was,
God.
Yeah. I was thinking that he had a sombrero, but no, that was that obviously wasn't that, no, was no, it? That was 86. Mexico.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I will Google it as soon as we get off the phone.
Well, do you know what? Tweet us in, anyone who's there. If you can tell us. Yeah, what was the...
Barbarini shirts.
Oh, Paul, I've just got it up. He's iconic, this fella. And yeah, it makes perfect... Oh my God, there's someone dressed up in a full-size costume of him. Oh, do you know what? Brilliant. That, right, him. Right. 86
That's
Mexico.
Who we need.
Obviously, the king is the Italian 90s show. The undisputed king of the mascots. I didn't mind... the USA 94 one, and then France 98, obviously was a Footix. That was the last time they had a proper one, wasn't it? Now it's just a logo.
Yeah. He's talking of mascots really quickly.
Go on.
River the dog should not be standing with the team while there's a minute silence. Can we just make that a rule?
You mean...
It's happening again.
Obviously, Paul, you follow mascot minute silence on Twitter.
Just no, please. Just let him stand on the side of the pitch. That's fine. Not like with the rest of the team. It just looks ridiculous. Remembering those that have fallen for our, you know, for our freedoms, and there's a massive dog stood with a load of footballers. It just looks ridiculous.
I mean, when you think about it, Paul, you're right. Like, why?
We've had a
why do they need to stand
dressed
there?
As a poppy.
Oh my God! What
was
that all about?
That was bad. But yeah,
if anything, mate, that's disrespectful to them, isn't it? In my opinion, it's ridiculous.
It's not great. But yeah, don't have River the dog holding, you know,
a wreath.
McGee's his arm around Luke McGee's shoulder.
They literally pull like you're right there. No. There's no reason for them to be there, is there?
Yeah, no, there's not.
There's no reason other than to be putting a photo and put on mascot minute silence on Twitter. Yeah. Go and follow that. Go and follow it, by the way. Classic.
So on that note, we are officially going to finish now.
Yes, I'm going to go and have spaghetti hoops on toast, Paul.
Good days.
Aldi own brand spaghetti hoops.
Oh, it doesn't get any better.
Well, I'm going to put a load of Worcestershire sauce in it. Yeah, load of black pepper.
That might make it a bit better then.
Oh, improve everything, mate. Oh, the best. If they want to sponsor us, get in touch as well. Liam Perrins.
Yeah, I mean, we keep mentioning all these brands.
Don't think they're listening, do you?
We've not received a penny off any of them.
No. Well, we never received a penny off Tranmere when we were the official podcast, remember? Despite spending hundreds of pounds of our own money on subscription fees to host the podcast and equipment.
Yeah.
But anyway... We're not bitter.
Which reminds me, the last podcast we did,
yeah,
we sort of left listeners with a teaser, and we're going to do it again.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, we said we were going to talk about the time when we were told not to produce a podcast.
Oh, I was thinking about this the other day. Okay, yeah, we'll just...
We'll maybe do like a
tell-all,
a standalone episode just on that. In the near future.
What, like the summer of 2017?
Yeah. Maybe.
Paul, it was a good job, wasn't it? I was such a rebel and just didn't listen to anything you said. Because I went, what are they going to do? Fire me? I don't work for the club.
Yeah.
I was hoping they'd fire you, to be honest, but, you know.
Anyway, less said about that, the better. Yeah.
Still, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll do. You know, if enough people want to hear about what went on, fucking shambles, wasn't it?
The untold stories of Tranmere Rovers.
The untold money that they owe me for we're alive, never got paid, did I?
Well, if you've got interest on it, they're going to owe you an absolute fortune.
Seen the interest rates these days? It's not looking good for the club, is it?
No.
I've still got that invoice in my documents.
It's only been 6 years, 7 years?
Six years. It'd be six years in May.
It'd be 7 years in May.
I'll just let it keep going, Paul.
Yeah, just add it.
Business. And then, Joe, when they pay me, I'll buy the club with the money.
Yeah, you could afford to do so.
Yeah. Ooh, yes, please. Right then, I'm going to go and have my dinner, Paul. Only one last thing left to say.
Up the tram, yeah.
Up the fucking tram, yeah.